Support for WPR comes from the American Society of Landscape Architects Wisconsin Chapter. Dedicated to reimagining the design of outdoor spaces for the well-being of all. Examples at wiasla.com.
Support for WPR comes from the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art, an independent organization dedicated to creating experiences that educate, reflect, and inspire. More is at mmoca.org.
What's your name?
Caleb.
Faison, nice to meet you. How'd you like it?
Just brought down a lot, so my waves stick out and get a fade.
Do you want it all the same level?
Yup.
And we'll fade the sides slightly?
Yup, in the back.
That sounds really familiar. Charles, where are we?
Well, Jim, what you're hearing is the sound of a barbershop here in Madison. It's called the Atwood Family Barbershop. It's where I get my haircuts down the street from my house. But I went there a couple days ago to talk to Faisal Abdul Allah. He's a London-based artist. In fact, he's the artist in residence at the University of Wisconsin here.
So why is an artist in a barbershop?
Well, Faisal's also a barber in London. In fact, he gets all of his inspiration from the barbershop for his art. And if you'll notice from his accent, he's a Jamaican immigrant to London. And for me, I thought it would be best to talk to him in a barbershop to kind of get the vibe of where his work comes from.
I just sound like your accent.
Faisal was in a documentary recently that asked a big question. What does a haircut mean to a black man? Here in Madison, everyone at the barbershop seemed to have something to say about that question. I start with Faisal himself, though, who was, by the way, cutting hair the entire time I spoke.
I think the haircut is the alpha and the omega. For me, it's probably one of the most kind of... Because like, the hair is like the crown, isn't it? The hair kind of sits on top of your head. I think issues of representation and identity have been played out in my own life when I was very young. And my father was always keen about his identity, his look, of how he was kind of perceived by, you know, the kind of the host community in London. So representation for me was very important. Always had polished shoes, always wore a suit, always was groomed. And in some ways, you know, being groomed was very much a part of your understanding of self, body knowledge, and understanding what your aspirations are. So for me, the haircut was a very, very important kind of detail in one's own makeup. So for my father, it was haircut and shoes. So once those two things were in place, he believed that you could go out into the landscape and do incredible things. So that's what how I would frame the idea of the haircut.
The barbershop we're in right now is in my neighborhood. It's intimidating. It's an intimidating space, right? Where I'm surrounded by white people, I'm surrounded by that culture, and then suddenly I look in through this glass window and I see not just a bunch of black people, a bunch of black men. Do you think the black barber should care? Or do you think that maybe that's a space that we need, that white people need to be introduced to maybe find out some truth?
Race is not my problem. Race is, in some respects, the white man's problem. So when I go into Wells Fargo or Chase Bank, or if I walk into Macy's and I get the furry eyeball treatment from the security guard, it's their problem, not mine. They feel I might be coming in there to maybe take something. They create environments that are not conducive to what I feel comfortable with. And I don't see them, you know, trying to create a space that black people feel, you know, cool about. So why should we be conscious about the issue of race? Because all we're doing is just a trading space where you come in, you get a haircut. Now, if in your own makeup you believe that there is something inherently different about a black guy cutting your hair, that for some strange reason he's going to remember civil rights and probably take your neck off, you know what I mean? This is not this is not Sweeney Todd. This is like, you know, this is a space where we want to earn money. You want to earn money. So if you want to come in and you want to sit down, read a paper, get your hair cut, I'm cool in the gang with that. It's not a problem. Back in the 70s, the white guys would come in the barbershop and they would they'd sit down and you could see them feeling uncomfortable. And they would always say, I'm just going to get a newspaper. That would be the line they would always use in the 70s. And the white guys would go and get a newspaper and they would never come back. It's like an escape.
At the same time, like, you're coming in to get a haircut, but I know, like, for me, I work at UW. A barbershop is one of the few places I can come around and be surrounded by black men, like when I go to church and when I go anywhere else.
Yeah.
So I'm not really ready for a whole bunch of white people to just walk up in the barbershop. Even the fact that I came here this morning, thought I was going to start my day off with some black guys, and y'all walked in. And all of a sudden now, Madison, the city, the white city that it is invaded my space. Do white people need to, that question is complicated, because do white people need to come and learn some truth? Hell no. They need to come and get a haircut. But the idea that, like, that's putting black people, black men on an exhibit, if white people are coming in to get some kind of truth. No, I'm here to get a fade, and I'm also here to not see white people for a little bit. But so you coming in to learn something about yourself or about your world is not just complicated as fuck. So yes.
And I think what Denez, you know, what Denez has said is very illustrative of the barbershop. It's a space where true issues are discussed. And like I said, sometimes it's sweet in the mouth and it's bitter in the belly. But it's you know, that's his reality. And I think we can never run away from that. And I think what I love about the barbershop, it doesn't try and sanitize it. Not at all. But the barbershop space is a space that, you know, explores all of those different possibilities in a very honest and open way.
So you're obviously a world-renowned artist. You're also, certainly in your neighborhood, a renowned barber. How is being a barber and an artist connected?
I mean, essentially, you know, kind of artists work with ideas, you know, and there is some kind of dissemination, there is some kind of output. Now, our understanding of artists is that I'm this guy that wears a beret with a thin mustache, and I create these wonderful paintings that are, you know, I throw things around, I throw paint around. No, you know, it's about ideas. And what I'm doing now is a form of sculpture. So I'm actually sculpting hair. I'm actually sculpting the material. And I keep sculpting that material until it has a kind of a beautiful aesthetic. And then this aesthetic is then appreciated by an audience. But whilst I'm doing my sculpting, the subject is alive. Subject has a voice, has a personality. And that subject then tells me stories about themselves, about the issues that they're currently dealing with, whether they be about race, whether they be about privacy. And I think that is too much to be allowed to just go into the walls and disappear. So what I try to do, I try to grab some of those kind of ideas and sentiments and deposit them into works. If you put aside the process of how you make a fade, and think about the person, think about the subject. You know, they get a fade because of vanity, hygiene, body knowledge, a kind of sense of pride, the idea of image consciousness for me is the number one thing. That individuals are very conscious about how they look, and having that fade is a global aesthetic. So when you go to the airport, you always see people that have been to the hairdressers, because they always get their hair cut before they fly. So you always see the good fades in the airport. You know, you always see the good fades at weddings. You always see the good fades sports stars on the TV. In areas of importance, you always find good grooming. So it doesn't surprise me that that consciousness is global, because I can sit at home and I can see what Kobe Bryant looks like now, or what Jay-Z looks like now, or what Aaron Lennon playing for Spurs looks like globally, and they all look the same.
Do you, I mean, you've been doing art for quite some time. Is all your art ideas coming from the barbershop?
So, yeah, I mean, I can honestly say that. I'd say, I remember I did a talk at the Victoria and Albert Museum in London, a very well-known museum, and they said to me, you know, what comes first, barbering or making art? And I said that if I stopped making art, barbering, I wouldn't make any more work, because that's where the work comes from. It comes from, look at Terry, he's performing. If people were to come into the shop and he weren't talking, they'd be like, what's wrong with Terry? What's wrong with him? Because he's performing, that's what he does. And I think being a barber is a part of that performance. And you have to be the broker. You bring somebody in and somebody has a debate and you say, no, you're wrong. You know, and it's an interesting place to be. You're almost like the kind of, well, in some ways, he's the artist. And the customer is the subject. And you have an audience. So in some ways, I think it's a really kind of interesting relationship that takes place, whereby you know, I mean, look at it now, you know, in the next 20 minutes they might travel the world 8 or 9 times, you know, and they may disagree and he may stop cutting and he may, like, you know, walk around and prod somebody. But in some ways, you know, that's the magic of the space, you know.
Because you cut their hair.
Cut their hair.
She cut their hair.
But on the reverse end, as somebody's just getting their hair cut, like, there's a form of trust that has to be there. Like, I'm not gonna let just anybody cut my hair. Like, I have to trust you. I have to kind of, maybe not know you, but I have to, like, there's some form of connection that has to be there for me to let you, like, touch my hair. Because you control my whole future then, like, a bad haircut, I'm not gonna get the job, I'm not gonna get the, I don't know. So, as somebody getting their haircut, it kind of forms the connection as it is. So, 5 times, 6 times haircut, like, a connection is formed and solid then by that time, so.
You can imagine, because if positive things happen to you from your hair, your girlfriend says, oh my God, I love your haircut, get the job, then you can see the relationship form. Mm-hmm. But you don't know Faisal,
right?
You just met him today.
Yep.
Are you nervous?
I'm not. I'm looking at his hair and I'm getting a good vibe from him, so.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
He knows. His hair looks good.
I'm going to ask these guys a few questions when I come back.
So you can see Faisal Abdu'Allah's photos and prints on our website at ttbook.org. Faisal's art studio and barbershop are in London. TT Book producer Charles Monroe Kane spoke with Faisal at the Atwood Family Barbershop, owned and operated in Madison, Wisconsin, by barber Terry Moss.
Your parents always tell you, you dress nice. You know, absolutely. You dress how you want to be. You want to be the best. So you have the best.
I mean, you can get your hair cut at Terry's shop or at any black barbershop, you know, obviously for the culture. There's not too many places that you can go where you're going to see, you know, a group of black guys in one spot that's, yeah, able to talk and just give each other the business, whether they know each other or not. I mean, because I know I come in here, I talk crazy to everybody.
Yeah, it's free. You know, you feel free here. You know, it's
the
shop.
No cops.
Right.
You know, yeah, what do you mean police officers?
We probably get harassed if we was outside.
Come on, now you ain't gonna say nothing no more.